series of illustrated backgrounds in rich colors include party streamers and confetti as titles appear. Fun and fancy free.
Fun, fun, fun and fancy free. The only tonic you should take is a teaspoonful of song. So if you'd really like to be happy-go-lucky just like me, drown your frowns, my friend, and you will see. You'll see that you'll be full of fun and fancy-free. Come along, lend an ear, see it for yourself. Meet a guy who's got a song. Troubles are on the shelf. He's so happy all the livelong day, living life the simple way, knowing it's the only way to be. Just full of fun and fancy.
In a cartoon, Jiminy Cricket drifts along in a leaf boat.
Everyone keeps asking me my recipe for living. It's simple as the ABCs and hardly seems worth giving. I've tried it out in every way. It always sees me through. It's made me what I am today. That's why I'm telling you I'm a happy-go-lucky fellow, full of fun and fancy free. You can make the whole world seem mellow if you take it in your stride like me. Don't cross a bridge or peek round the corner until you're there. Just learn to smile and in a while you'll find trouble's a bubble of air. Get a happy-go-lucky feeling, keep it and I guarantee that you find you'll wind up living in the sun, full of fun and fancy free.
Reaching the edge of a miniature indoor pond, he hops from a plant to a bookshelf where he spots a book titled Misery for the Masses. He steps lightly along a row of books, Basic Metabolism, Anatomy of Melancholy, and Proverbial Philosophy.
Now some folks like the heavy stuff, with titles 5 feet wide. Not me, I'm always out for fun. I like the lighter side, yes sir.
He floats down from the shelf using an umbrella, then sees a fishbowl below. He paddles against the water's surface, floating back up and over the rim. He sings to a goldfish in the water.
Don't cross a bridge or peek round the corner until you're there. Just learn to smile and in a while you'll find trouble's a bubble of air. Get a happy-go-lucky feeling. You know, you worry too much. In fact, everybody worries too much. Here, just look at the morning paper. Turn to any page.
He opens a newspaper to a series of troubling stories.
You'll find the whole world worrying about some future age. But why get so excited? What's gonna be is gonna be. And the end of the world's been coming since 1903. That's B.C., of course. Don't cross a bridge.
He hops down and nudges a snoozing cat. It grins, showing its fangs.
Just learn to smile, and in a while you'll find trouble. You bet you'll find trouble.
It chases Jiminy Cricket, who flees through a doorway and slams the door in its face. The cat glowers through a gap beneath the door.
Take it easy, son. Why, you're just a bundle of nerves.
He barks at the cat, who runs away.
You see? Jumpy as a cat. Comes from always rushing into things.
In the dark room, the cricket walks into different objects. He leaps onto a lamp.
Now what have I done?
He turns it on.
I guess I don't know my own strength.
He opens the eye of a fallen doll.
Sorry to upset you, miss. Have you on your feet in a jiffy?
He sits her up.
See, Daisy.
Mom, Mom.
Your mommy isn't here, honey. But if I can be of service, the name is Cricket, J. Cricket. You can call me Jiminy.
He bumps a stuffed bear.
Sorry. Oh,
Howdy, chum. Why so glum?
The bear and doll wear sad expressions.
Say, what's the matter? You worried about something, too? Never saw such a dismal pair. A deadpan doll and a droopy bear. You ought to try my recipe. Be full of fun, fancy-free. Life is a song, happy, gay. So let's have some music. Come on, what do you say?
At a record player, he finds some records.
Bongo? Now, what in the world is bongo? Oh, a musical story sung by Dinah Shore. Well, what are we waiting for?
The record sits with others in an album book. He lifts Bongo's sleeve and removes the vinyl disc. The record slips out, whizzes right over Jiminy, and rolls toward the record player, where it falls neatly in place on the turntable.
A ringer! It's a gift.
He steps onto the record and turns on the player, then hefts the needle into place.
Take it away, Dinah.
The record spins faster under the needle, throwing Jiminy off.
This is the story of three bears.
Yeah, I know. The mama bear, the papa bear, and the itsy bitsy baby bear.
Oh, but it's not the story you expect. This is a love story. It's about a little girl bear and a big, burly, brawny brown bear who wanted very much to be her boyfriend. But mostly, this is a story about Bongo. He was a circus bear, was born in the circus, grew up in the circus. In fact, Bongo was the star of the circus.
Circus posters feature a smiling bear.
Why, he could juggle and dance while on a trapeze, walk a tightrope with the greatest of ease. In jiu-jitsu, he was beyond compare. Once threw a bull at the county fair, super at wrestling and lifting weights, outboxed the champs of 17 states.
Dressed in a fez, a red jacket, and a blue bow tie, Bongo rides a unicycle before a crowd.
They all packed in from near and far to see this death-defying star. With mouths wide open, they watched his ascent as he daringly climbed to the top of the tent.
On a tightrope, Bongo balances on his head on the unicycle. He juggles fruit, dishware, and utensils, a hatchet, a lamp, and a fishbowl with his hands and feet.
Then, for a grand climax, he would gracefully plunge 300 feet into a wet sponge.
A brass band plays, and audience members applaud. Bongo hops back on his unicycle, beaming and throwing his arms open in wide flourishes. He backs out of the tent, bowing and doffing his cap. A human hand claps a metal collar around his neck and leads him to a cage-like car in a circus train.
Poor Bongo.
With slumped shoulders and a crestfallen expression, he enters.
Naturally, you'd think he'd be handled with kid gloves.
Hands yank his clothes off.
Treated like a king.
They bathe him roughly.
And pampered like a baby.
He lands hard on a hay bed.
But no! He was tossed around like an old shoe. Bongo, the bear in the gilded cage.
His eyelids droop as he lies down. The circus tent and equipment seem to pack themselves into the train.
His thoughts would wander to an imaginary life far removed from the circus.
A dreamy smile lights up his face as he gazes out through the bars of a window. He shakes his head and blinks out of it.
Some half-forgotten instinct kept calling him. For you see, Bongo is a dreamer.
In a dream, Bongo sleeps happily on a leafy tree branch. He wakes on the train, his body crumpling up like an accordion. In an instant, the circus appears to set itself up at a new location.
Hey, Bongo! Get going! You're on!
He cycles out of his cage with a weary expression. Later, he smiles brightly as he performs his juggling act, finishing with his signature dive. As he rides the train later, a ghostly version of himself appears floating outside his window.
The call of the wild kept ringing in his ears.
Bongo peers out between the window bars.
He couldn't ignore it any longer.
Bongo, Bongo.
He had to answer the call of the great open spaces.
Come on out, Bongo.
With a hypnotized smile, Bongo runs straight into the window bars. His imaginary self slides over green hills and dives into a glassy lake.
Come on out,
Bongo.
Bongo tries forcing his way out between the bars, but to no avail.
He was cracking up.
Bongo, Bongo!
He was losing his grip.
Bongo, Bongo, Bongo!
He had to escape. To get away. Just gotta get away.
Bongo.
Gotta get away. Gotta get away. Gotta get away. Gotta get away.
Bongo hurries from one door to another, shaking the iron bars with all his might. A padlock gives way and the door swings open. Bongo almost falls but holds onto the bars.
Bongo, 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 Bongo.
He gets on his unicycle and exits the train, which speeds away along a bridge. Bongo rides his unicycle down a steep slope and into the woods. He hops expertly over a fallen log and a few boulders, then arrives in a clearing by a lake with mountains on the other side.
At last he was free. Free. Free? This was even better than he'd expected.
He trips over a rock and takes a deep sniff from a nearby flower.
Oh, boy, thought Bongo. This is living. He felt so good, he just had to run around and jump.
He tries to jump over a tree root, but trips and falls on his face. Still smiling, Bongo sniffs around in the grass. He shakes his short, fluffy tail and giddily prances about the clearing on all fours.
Why, he even tried to growl.
A squirrel dashes past and scampers up a tree.
Oh boy, a tree! That's for me!
Bongo runs over and knocks on the trunk. Pairs of chipmunks and squirrels, as well as a raccoon and a bird with four chicks, stare down at the small bear.
Just ripe for climbing, too.
Wearing a smug, confident smile, Bongo starts walking up along the tree trunk, but crashes onto his back. The watching squirrels and chipmunks talk among themselves. Bongo dusts himself off, rears back, and tries galloping up the trunk using his hands and feet. He falls on his head. One of the chipmunks nudges his companion and mimics Bongo's failed attempt. Bongo jumps high and latches onto the trunk with his arms and legs, then slides down, his claws leaving a trail in the bark. He falls and rolls on his back. He notices the animals laughing at him. He smiles sheepishly.
Oh, well, what if I can't climb a big old tree? This is still the place for a fella like me. Just lazy and loafing and fancy free. I love to hang around the lazy countryside.
Things are nice and breezy
with nature's gang around the lazy countryside.
Bongo lies back. The other animals smile at him.
Where the crickets you don't hear in the city keep a humming in your ear, oh so pretty. And it's just too much for words, listening to the chorus of the birds.
Bongo swishes a finger in the lake.
The lazy countryside.
And while away the hours,
just kind of play around the lazy countryside.
As free as bees and flowers.
There's more fun in taking the sun in and to roam the spaces wide. It's the place for me. Gee, but it's great to be round the lazy countryside.
Bongo gathers up an armful of flowers, buries his nose in them, then tosses them up in the air. A flock of pink-chested bluebirds spin the flowers into a bouquet, then fly away, leaving the flowers to rain down on a smiling Bongo. The other animals approach kindly. A chipmunk sits under his hat, then on his nose. Two rabbits pull him to his feet, and a raccoon gives him a nudge from behind. Bongo breaks into a leisurely stroll with the rabbits and squirrels scurrying around his feet. He arrives at a rocky ledge overlooking the lake, which shimmers gently as it reflects the image of tall snow-capped mountains in the distance. Bongo and his new friends stroll along a log bridge over a stream. Looking down, he doffs his cap, and a fish leaps out of the water, waving a fin at him. He continues along a path through the peaceful woods, taking in the sights. As he returns to the clearing, his eyelids droop sleepily.
There's more fun in taking the sun in and to roam the spaces wide. It's the place for me. Gee, but it's great to be round.
The forest animals return to their homes and settle in to go to sleep. Bongo gives a big stretch.
Oh, boy, thought Bongo, this is the stuff.
The trees around him yawn and stretch their arm-like branches.
To stretch out under a canopy of stars, studying the velvet softness of the night.
Stars twinkle around a bright full moon overhead. Bongo gathers up a pile of grass and leaves into a makeshift mattress.
To sleep in the peace and quiet of the woods.
Bongo sits up and removes a pine cone from underneath him, chucking it away.
The stillness of the night descends like a sheltering veil. Hush. All nature sleeps.
Bongo lies back, and his chest gently rises and falls as he slumbers. His ears begin to twitch, then his head, shoulders, and feet start bobbing up and down. Now awake, Bongo looks all around him. His eyes drift closed again. He sits up with a start and sees a caterpillar chomping away on a leaf. A centipede marches out of a hole in the ground. Bongo gazes closely at an insect sawing through the stalk of a plant which falls onto Bongo's nose. A butterfly breaks through its cocoon and flies away. Bongo dives into his bed of grass, then desperately claws at a nearby tree, tearing away its bark as he tries in vain to climb it. A howling wolf's silhouette stands out against the full moon. A swirling funnel of wind chases Bongo out of his hiding place behind the tree, and a swarm of bugs surrounds him. Swatting furiously at them, he flees into a cave, but gets chased out by a colony of bats. He hops onto his unicycle and pedals away at top speed. Lightning flashes overhead, and dark clouds fill the sky. Lightning bolts zap repeatedly at Bongo's feet as he tries to ride away, and curtains of rain begin showering down on the little bear. Lightning cracks a tree trunk, which teeters over and falls, narrowly missing Bongo. Pedaling furiously, he flees beyond the reach of two claw-like bolts of lightning. The storm clouds drift away to reveal the clear, starry sky once more. Later, Bongo shivers as he lies curled up on a rocky ledge. He pulls his jacket down, but his shivering causes it to ride up again. As the sky turns rosy, he turns away onto his other side.
Then came the dawn.
A blue jay lands on Bongo's nose. Scowling, Bongo swats at it, but hits the tip of the ledge, which breaks away underneath him. Starting to fall back to sleep, he spots the sheer drop beneath him to a valley far below. He tumbles backwards away from the ledge, then rubs his eyes blearily and gets up. His head whacks into a low branch, causing frost to snow down on him. He trips over his unicycle, then skids over the icy surface of a pond, finally crashing through it and into the shallow water.
Bongo felt as stiff as a board, as cranky as an old bear.
Pouting, he gets back on his unicycle. Propelled backward by his steez, he teeters at the edge of the ledge, then paddles back to safety. He continues on his way.
Bongo was discouraged. A fine kind of bear he turned out to be. He didn't even know how to act like a bear.
He cycles to the edge of another pond and sits on a fallen log, resting his head wearily in one hand.
This rough, rugged stuff wasn't for him. Especially on an empty stomach.
He taps his belly. He absently tosses a few pebbles in one hand, throwing them into the pond one by one. A fish noozes in the clear water. Bongo stands and creeps toward it. Bongo takes off his fez and tries to scoop up the fish, but merely ends up splashing himself as the fish swims out of reach. His frown turns to a wicked smile, and he turns and strolls away. With a burst of speed, he runs back and dives into the water, but misses the fish and crashes down to the pond floor. With his head and torso underwater, he beckons the fish and points to his fez. The fish blows a raspberry and swims away, leaving a barrage of bubbles in its wake. Bongo scrambles after the fish, trips over a rock, then repeatedly tries to pounce on it. It evades his grasp, leaping away with speed and grace. Chasing it, Bongo plunges past a gentle waterfall. Bongo's brow shoots up, and he sees a female bear smiling at him from the other side of the waterfall. He parts the curtains of water with both hands, staring wide-eyed. His blurry view focuses as he gazes at the pretty bear.
Bongo thought, this is just too good to be true.
Surrounded by flowering plants at the water's edge, she bats her eyes at him.
I'm either hungry or I'm still dreaming.
A pink flower sits atop her head, and she waves at him with another. Bongo pinches himself.
Ow! I'm awake! It must be true. Oh, this is much better than dreaming.
As Bongo doffs his cap, the fish emerges from inside, flops on his head, and swims away. Bongo springs to his feet and runs toward the female bear, momentarily sinking in the water's depths. The female bear bounds lightly over a tree root, but Bongo knocks clumsily into it and goes tumbling to crash into another tree. Bongo sees the female bear looking over her shoulder at him with a smile as she slowly walks away. Bongo follows her with an eager grin. She peeks out at him from behind a rock, then steps behind a tree trunk. Bongo hurries in her direction. The female bear playfully hides behind a tree. Bongo hides behind the same tree. They each step backward around either side, arriving back to back. Turning face to face, they join hands and touch noses. Their noses form a pink heart. The two bears float through the sky as two cupid-like bears play with them.
This must be heaven. It can't be real. It's just too good to be true. But let me go right on dreaming, as long as I'm with you.
This is too good to be true. I can't believe it's real. Can it be you? I really see.
Be true. One of the winged bears pumps water, which falls from one pink cloud to another and finally washes Bongo and his love away into a heart-shaped pool nestled inside a cloud.
Can it be you I really see?
The Cupid bears unplug the pool and Bongo and his love come swirling out. The Cupid bears unroll a grassy turf where Bongo and his love land softly. A Cupid bear uses a crane to shower them with flowers. Bongo teaches his love how to ride the unicycle along a ribbon in the sky. Two Cupid bears cut the ribbon, and Bongo's love goes riding out of control among the clouds. She weaves through columns adorned with flowering vines. Bongo catches her.
Then take me to heaven with you. Or is this a dream too good to be true?
Now back in the woods, several bears and cubs kindly surround Bongo and his love in the grassy clearing.
Still with a sudden chill, no talk, no laughs, no chatter. With trees shaking, the ground quaking, the crowd began to scatter. Out of his lair came the third bear with murder in his eyes.
A big burly bear splits a tree trunk in two.
He took in the scene of love serene with jealousy and surprise. He was the roughest, toughest, meanest bear, Lockjaw by name, a villain for fair.
A shadow creeps over the two smitten bears, and Bongo gets yanked away from his love by his feet. Lumpjaw, nearly three times as big as Bongo, glares down his snout at him.
Well, what's this? It's no dream. It's a nightmare. Hello? Was all Bongo could say. Kind of unfriendly. Probably doesn't know who I am.
Bongo holds up posters and flyers reading Bongo the Wonder Bear and points to himself. Lumpjaw blows them away, then deals a mighty punch, sending Bongo rolling into a tree trunk. Lumpjaw approaches, tearing through the trees and bushes in his way. Bongo puts up a fighting stance, his cap hanging from his snout and covering his eyes. Lumpjaw punches Bongo into a line of low-hanging vines, then barges forward again, only to be stopped by the female bear.
Just a moment. This is my affair. Hello, Lulabelle, dear.
Lulabelle slaps Bongo across the face. The watching bears smile from their perches in a nearby tree while Bongo stares at her confusedly.
Gosh, Bongo was surprised. Why should Lulabelle turn against him? That was no way for a lady to act.
Lulabelle points at her cheek with an expectant smile, then slaps Bongo again. He goes bouncing away on his head. Lumpjaw looks on with a mean smile. Wearing a heartbroken pout, Bongo glumly dusts himself off.
Lulabelle's feelings were hurt. All right. She'd give Mr. Bongo just one more chance.
As Lulabelle prepares to slap Bongo yet again, he ducks, and she goes spinning toward Lumpjaw, slapping him instead.
What have I done?
Lumpjaw's eyes turn into hearts. He flutters in the air like a bird and somersaults around Lulabelle. As Lumpjaw picks up Lulabelle in his arms, hugging her close, the other bears climb down from their trees and surround them encouragingly. In a thought bubble over Bongo's head, a heart shatters into tiny pieces which rain down around him and disappear.
Poor Bongo. It was too good to be true.
Lulabelle watches him sadly.
Gone were his dreams. His world was shattered. Why hadn't someone ever told him about all of these things that really mattered?
Bongo rides his unicycle away.
And now, well, now it was just too late. He'd never find out that when bears are in love, they always say it with a slap.
From a rocky ledge high above the clearing, Bongo sees the bears forming two lines facing each other. They pair up and dance.
When a bird loves a bird, he can glitter. When a puppy falls in love, he can yap. Every pigeon likes to coo when he says, I love you, but a to say it with a slap.
When a whippoorwill's in love, he can whipper all the horses' neck and all the turtles' step. Every deer and every dove has a way of making love, but a bear likes to say it with a slap.
You can ask any bear, oh, there's nothing to compare with the love that's strong or weak.
So if you're ready for romance and you ever get the chance,
I'll grab your girl.
Give her your cheek. So when love comes along, don't be silly. Never ever waste your time like a sap. Let the others hug and kiss, but the bare facts are this, that a bear likes to say it with a slap. Slap, slap.
Pairs slap each other and fall to the ground with hearts circling their heads. They get up and resume the dance.
Grab your bear and swing them wide. Shake the fur and scratch the hide. Give her a slap, give her a cuff. Around that floor and strut your stuff. Woo-hoo! He slapped her once and he missed her jaw and he wound up smacking his mother-in-law. Now here comes Grandpa, get in line, and here comes baby bear behind.
As Bongo watches thoughtfully, the forest bears form two lines again. Lumpjaw grabs Lulu Bell by the hand. The other bears make an archway with their hands and he dances her through. Bongo's eyes widen and he slaps himself.
When the whippoorwill's in love, he can whip her. All the horses neck and all the turtles snap. Every deer and every dove has a way of making love, but a bear likes to say it with a slap. You can ask.
As Lumpjaw dances with his eyes closed, Lulu Bell slinks away. Bongo remembers Lulu Bell's slap.
Give me your cheek. So when love comes along, don't be silly. Never ever waste your time like a sap.
Smiling, Bongo leaps onto his unicycle and rushes down to face Lulu Bell. He draws his hand back to slap her, but Lumpjaw swats him away. As Lumpjaw chases Bongo, the other bears dash up the surrounding trees. Lumpjaw tears a boulder out of the ground. Bongo's unicycle makes a swooping turn along a rock wall and leads him back toward Lumpjaw, who runs at him holding the boulder overhead. Bongo pushes up his sleeves, pedals toward Lumpjaw at full speed, and rams him head first. The boulder falls under Lumpjaw's head and shatters. Lulu Bell applauds. Bongo swoops her up in his arms and sets her on a rock. He tips his hat to her, rides his unicycle up Lumpjaw's body, lands gracefully, and pummels him with punches. Turning away, he raises his cap to Lulu Bell again, then looks back to see Lumpjaw glowering. The large bear pounces on Bongo, who appears behind him and gives him a kick. He rides his unicycle along Lumpjaw's back and bounces off his head, then heads back to Lulu Bell, gathering up a handful of flowers for her as he goes. As she sniffs the bouquet, Bongo smiles dreamily at her. His rival pounces on him, throwing up a cloud of dust as he swings his fists. As the dust clears, Bongo lies back with a smile, lifts Lumpjaw on the wheel of his unicycle, and paddles him into a rolling ball, which he then rides. Lumpjaw crashes into a tree laden with several other bears. The tree breaks and falls on Lumpjaw's head, followed by the other bears. Lumpjaw throws them off with a mighty heave, then picks up the tree trunk and swings it down at Bongo and Lulu Bell. Bongo bows low to Lulu Bell, avoiding the tree just as she jumps out of its way. Bongo rides away, expertly avoiding Lumpjaw, who furiously swings the trunk at him. Lumpjaw takes down several trees but fails to hit the circus bear. Bongo cycles backward between three watching bears who get flattened by Lumpjaw. A distant view shows Lumpjaw felling a wide patch of trees, then chasing Bongo up a rocky slope. Reaching a cliff's edge, Lumpjaw swings the tree down, shaking loose a slab of rock beneath them. As they fall, Lumpjaw tries in vain to grab Bongo. They plunge toward a river. The tree trunk and Lumpjaw splash into the water. Bongo lands on his unicycle on the trunk and bounces nimbly. Lumpjaw surfaces angrily. He tries to reach Bongo, but the log spins beneath his feet. He runs along the log to keep his balance, and Bongo rides his unicycle on the opposite end. Lumpjaw loses his footing and topples into the water. He climbs back on and advances. Bongo cycles backwards, but trips and falls, losing his unicycle. Just as Lumpjaw grabs Bongo by the front of his jacket, the log tips over the side of a waterfall. Seeing the sheer drop, they both hang onto the log, which tilts further and further. Bongo pulls himself up and runs up the tipping log. Lumpjaw tries to do the same, making a grab for Bongo, but the log goes over the edge, taking them both with it. Lulu Bell covers her eyes with her paws, and the other bears stare with their jaws agape. Lumpjaw gets dragged along by the current, struggling to stay afloat. At the waterfall, Bongo hangs from a branch, sticking out through the waterfall, suspended by his cap's chin strap. On shore, Lulu Bell leans against a rock, weeping in her folded arms. The bears cheer as Bongo climbs up to a ledge near the top of the waterfall. They carry him on their shoulders.
So when love comes along, don't be silly. Never, ever waste your time like a sack. Let the others hug and kiss, but the bear's facts are this, that a bear likes to stay at Riverside.
I love you, Lulu Bell.
Walking up, Bongo slaps her, then raises his cap.
I love you too, Bongo.
She slaps him back, touches her nose to his, then playfully runs away. Bongo leaps joyfully, jogs in a circle, and stops at a log. He hops over. Lulu Bell bats her eyes at him, and he runs toward her. As Lulu Bell climbs a tree, the other animals help Bongo climb up after her.
If you're only passing through, then take me to heaven with you. Or is this a dream too good to be?
They reach the tops of two spindly trees, which bend to form a heart. Back at the record player, Jiminy lies cradled on the doll's arms. Her face wears a smile.
Excuse me. There. Now who says dreams don't come true? Well.
He sees the doll and the stuffed bear touching noses.
Three's a crowd, they say. So I'll drop back another day.
He hops onto a table and comes across an envelope bearing cursive handwriting.
Miss Luanna Patton. Well. Of course, it's not cricket to read other folks' mail, but...
He eyes an invitation by the envelope.
A party?
He opens the card and reads.
Tonight? The house across the way. Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Edgar Bergen. Never heard of him. Please come. Why, I'd be delighted.
Join the party, come along.
Jiminy strolls to a window and looks out at a house across the street. He opens the window latch using his parasol handle and heads out.
The house is just across the way. Better hurry, don't delay.
The house's window shows a man in live action performing a puppet show for an audience of two ventriloquist dummies and a young blonde girl.
Oh, dear, nanny goats and petticoats. I'm a caution.
Yes, you certainly are. Tell me, what is the secret of your lovely complexion?
Well, I use saddle soap.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm not being too personal, Ophelia.
Yeah?
How old are you?
Oh, I'm a girl my age.
A girl your age?
Yes.
And how old is that?
28.
I thought you were a little bit older than that.
Well, I knocked off a few years for good behavior.
I don't care for that. It's kid stuff.
Well, we're awfully glad you came to our party.
Well,
did you have fun?
Oh, yes, indeedy. I thought Charlie made a pig of himself with that chocolate cake.
Oh, you're quite right.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I agree with you.
Well, good night, Luana.
Good night, Ophelia.
Bon nuit, Mortimer.
Ma'am?
Bon oui.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I don't know no bunny way.
Good night, Charlie.
Good night.
You know, Ophelia, you look so sweet.
What'd you say?
I say, I think you look so sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to kiss you goodnight.
Oh, help.
Mr. Bergen ends the puppet show.
Isn't that a wonderful trick?
Yes, it is, yes. I wish I could enjoy my first childhood as much as he does his second.
Now, Luana, how would you like another piece of cake or some ice cream?
No, thank you. I'm full up.
Some candy.
Care for a cigar?
Me?
Yeah.
How about you, Mortimer?
Mortimer? I don't smoke.
I don't mean that. But what shall we do now? Any suggestions?
How would you like to go down to the city dump and watch these slug rats?
Certainly not. No. How would you like to hear me tell a story?
Oh, I'd love it. Wouldn't you, Charlie?
Well, no.
This is a story that everyone should know.
Yes, but not everyone should tell it. And you know who.
Well, I'm going to tell it anyway. Now, many, many years ago...
I think I'll run out and wind the sundial.
You'll stay right here.
Yes, sir.
Jiminy lies in a spoon.
Once upon a time, long, long ago...
Funny, nothing ever happens nowadays.
There was a place called Happy Valley. Now, it was called Happy Valley because everyone who lived there was happy.
No. Well, there's a hunk of logic for you.
Are you listening, Mortimer?
Happy Valley?
That's right, yes. Now, just try and imagine it. Can't you just close your eyes and see it?
Well, I can't see very good with my eyes closed. My eyelids get in the way.
Yeah, well, you create a picture in your mind's eye.
Oh.
That's not easy for him. His mind gets in the way.
Now, try and paint a mental picture.
I painted a barn once, I did.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it was a red barn, it was.
Well, forget the barn.
Yeah.
And try and picture Happy Valley.
Well, I'll work on it.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, I'll work on it. Let's see now. I'd say it's about, what was the question?
Happy Valley.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Think hard.
Yeah.
A thought bubble appears over Mortimer's head, showing a variety of landscapes, including a mountain range and an island.
Oh, I'm tired. All that work for nothing.
Can I try?
Certainly.
Luana shuts her eyes.
Yes, I think I can see it, Mr. Bergen. It's beautiful.
Yes, it was one of nature's garden spots, nestled among the green rolling hills. Can't you see the lovely brook as it flows through the valley?
In a cartoon, a valley takes shape.
The winding roads, lined with stately trees.
Trees, yeah.
Lush fields and prosperous farms dot the landscape.
Landscape, yeah.
And high on a hilltop overlooking the valley, shining like a jewel, stands...
My red barn.
No. It was something much nicer. It was a majestic castle.
Oh, that's pretty.
And something very precious is kept within these castle walls.
What is it?
It's a magic singing harp. Listen.
What a happy day. What a sunny sky. Kind of makes you sigh in a happy way.
The harp's column is in the form of a lovely woman.
All the world is gay. When your cares are light and your heart takes flight and you're swept away. The air is sweet with clover. The clouds are turning over. Oh, yes, they're turning over just to show their silver lining.
Two bluebirds fly and calves play in a meadow.
Never knew such bliss, never read of this in a book or play. What a lovely day. What a great big gorgeous sumptuous thumping bumptious humgalumptious simply scrumptious. My, what a happy day.
A cow smiles up at the bluebirds and wags her ears in bell.
My, what a happy day.
A bull sings to her. Nearby, crows flock to a smiling scarecrow and dance on his arms.
What a great big gorgeous, sumptuous, thumping, bumptious, humgalumptious, simply scrumptious. Oh my, what a happy day.
The scarecrow joins them in fits of laughter.
Yes, the voice of this golden harp cast a magic spell of joy and prosperity over the valley. But it was too good to last.
I knew there was a catch in it.
For one day...
They built a schoolhouse.
No. One day a mysterious shadow crept over the valley. And then something dreadful happened.
A bolt of lightning strikes a bird-beaked gargoyle on the palace wall. A dark, shadowy figure shatters a window and steals away the harp.
What happened?
When the shadow lifted, the golden harp was gone. No longer was the valley happy, for without the magic of the harp, all was misery, misery, misery.
Just like the eighth grade.
Desolation spread over the land. Everything was drying up.
Dry rot.
Yes, isn't it?
Charlie?
Yes, sir.
The fields of golden corn turned to dust.
Kerplop.
The laughing brook flowed no more.
A crack in the parched earth drains the last remaining puddles of water.
To think that this was once Happy Valley.
Now it's Gruesome Gulch.
Days pass. Weeks pass.
I pass. New deal.
What happened to all the people?
Well, suppose we look in on these humble peasants.
Is that a peasant?
That's a cow, stupid.
Well, at least they had milk.
Well, she used to be a good milker, but now...
she's an utter failure.
A cottage stands nearby.
She was the bosom friend of a once proud family.
Well, they're certainly out of the high rent district.
Inside, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy sit around a table.
And there they are. Three poor farmers, gripped by the pangs of starvation. Still alive, still breathing, sharing a pitiful crust between them. Share and share alike.
Mickey serves paper-thin slices of bread.
Staring and sharing.
Just tell it, don't ham it.
But are their spirits broken? Have they lost hope? Yes. Men facing famine, not left but beans.
Bean, you mean?
If it were one man and three beans, but no, one bean and three men.
Well, at least there are no bones in it.
Just look at that miserable creature, doggedly struggling to maintain life. A gaunt, lean bag of bones and feathers. Truly a picture of despair.
Donald makes a bean slice sandwich.
But Donald doesn't whimper. Donald doesn't give up.
Shut up! I can't stand it!
He makes a sandwich out of dishware and utensils and chomps on it. Mickey and Goofy seize him and yank the pieces out of his beak. They shake him upside down, then set him back on his seat. Donald's eyelids droop in a weary, crazed expression. He spots an axe on the wall and a grin spreads across his face.
He says he's all right, but I wonder. He's suffered too much. What diabolical thought is being hatched in the fevered brain of this poor, demented duck?
Looking up, Mickey finds the axe gone. Outside, Donald approaches the cow.
That's bossy, bossy.
The axe blade glints behind his back.
That's old cow's arousal.
Donald!
He charges, and the cow leaps onto the forked trunk of a withered tree. Mickey grabs the axe from Donald, who chomps down on the cow's tail. They tussle, and Goofy pins Donald down.
The little fellow was completely out of his head. He was a pitiful sight.
Now Mr. Bergen demonstrates with Charlie.
Poor Donald.
Yeah, poor me.
It was all they could do to restrain him. You see, he had just about reached the end of his rope. Oh, it was a sorry predicament indeed. What to do? What to do?
Well, Donald may be nuts, but he's got the right idea. Kill the cow.
Oh, no, Charlie. The cow was their best friend.
Well, a friend in need is a friend indeed.
So what?
So they need some steak.
No. If you're going to kill the cow, I don't want to hear the rest of the story.
Well, she wouldn't have to know. They could sneak up on her and surprise her. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll kill the cow.
Oh, no, Charlie. You mustn't.
Yeah, we'll get a stranglehold on her while she's asleep and push her off the cliff.
I ain't gonna listen to the story.
Well, it'll be your fault if they starve to death.
Why don't they sell the cow?
That's just what they did.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place and save a lot of time?
I could save a lot of time by not telling the story at all.
Your idea is not without merit.
Well, back to the scene of desolation. Now, things are beginning to look much brighter now, because as Mickey goes to the village to sell the cow,
the thought of prosperity brings new hope to the famished farmers. Even Donald has fully recovered, for soon their long empty plates will overflow with food.
Hey, look! Turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie, pancakes piled up till they reach the sky. I want to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until I die. Turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie, pancakes piled up till they reach the sky. Lots of scorches, lots of greens, fancy chocolate covered.
Beans!
Mickey returns.
What do you mean, beans?
Yeah, fellas, I sold the cow for some magic beans.
Beans?
Donald hangs upside down from the ceiling, tearing his head feathers out.
But Donald, these are not ordinary beans. They're magic beans. If you plant these beans in the light of a full moon, you know what'll happen?
Yes, we'll get more beans.
Donald grabs the box from Mickey and flings it. Three beans tumble out and fall through a hole in the floorboards.
Poor Mickey. Cheated into trading his cow for a handful of beans. What a mean trick. Swindling an innocent farmer out of all he owned. And lying to him, telling him that the beans were magic.
Moonlight shines on the floor.
Planted in the light of a full moon. What a shame to deceive a simple little peasant. Magic beans.
A baby plant grows through the hole.
Light of a
Bergen.
Full moon.
Oh, what? Bergen.
What?
There's something moving.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe there is some magic in them. All right, now let's all keep quiet and see what happens.
Growing quickly, the plant moves in a meandering loop, then reaches up through the moonbeam, which leads it all the way through a hole in the ceiling. A tendril winds around the thickening main stalk, then rises through another hole in the ceiling. Goofy snores as he sleeps, the force of his breath blowing the loose toes of his socks back and forth. A plant stalk inches toward him, then backs away and approaches Mickey, briefly sneaking into his mouth as he too snores. The chute continues to rise, lifting Mickey's blanket away, but a large leaf snags on his foot and tears free from the stalk. It falls over him and covers him like a fresh blanket. The stalk then sneaks up the rungs of a ladder to where Donald sleeps on a loft bed. A tendril tickles the sole of one of his feet as it passes. The now thicker stalk breaks through a window. Another forces the door open. Debris rains down within the farmhouse as the growing beanstalks eventually break the house free of its base, leaving only the hearth and chimney in place. A table and chair land on the ground. The massive, pillar-like beanstalk continues growing, sprouting new shoots, leaves, and tendrils. The top of the shoots carry the farmhouse high into the sky and through a cloud. The walls and floorboards fall away. As Donald's bed tips over, a growing branch scoops him up in a barrel. Two tendrils push Mickey along a wheelbarrow, then tilt down a branch. Mickey slides down the looping branch, then falls onto a large leaf along with his pillow. Unawakened, he curls up comfortably. The bottom of Goofy's bed falls away, followed by his mattress. He sways inside the bed frame, still fast asleep. A tendril winds into a hole in Donald's barrel, bursting it apart and leaving Donald hanging between its two metal hoops. They fall away and he lands in a tendril that's coiled like a spring. Goofy topples out of his bed frame and is caught by the edge of a chute holding out his pillow. A tendril gently places a stool beneath him, supporting his weight.
And all through the night it grew, onward and upward.
That thing is a menace to aviation.
Now a castle stands in a magical realm nestled on a cloud.
And so with the coming of dawn, we find the bewildered farmers staring at a mammoth castle, miles above the earth. Their curiosity was aroused. Nothing could hold them back. Who lives there? Man or monster? Friend or foe? A princess or a dragon?
Well, search me.
What drew them toward this place of mystery? Hunger? Desperation? Or perhaps it was love of adventure? What a fantastic experience. Perhaps mortal man has never before set foot on this strange land.
Well, somebody did.
They find giant footprints.
Who made them?
Well, it wasn't Cinderella.
They hop into a boat made of a leaf.
Soon they reached the moat surrounding the castle. But this didn't stop them. On they went as if drawn by some irresistible force. And then suddenly, without warning, out of the sky above...
Ooh, dragonflies!
Yeah, a fly in front and dragon behind.
A fleet flies overhead.
Gee, what whoppers!
Yeah, whoppers!
Donald mimics shooting at them. A dragonfly changes course and dives toward the boat. The friends duck low in their boat, avoiding the swooping insect.
Get back and fight!
The dragonfly turns around and approaches them again. Donald cowers against the floor of the boat, clutching tightly onto his hat. His tail feathers retract. The insect dives into the water right beside the boat, then takes to the air again, splashing the boat and filling it with water. Mickey and his friends try to bail the water out with their hats. The dragonfly dives again, speeding straight toward them. A fish leaps over them, neatly catches the insect in its mouth, and washes them ashore with a flick of its tail.
Finally, they reach the castle.
The hard way.
They find themselves at the bottom of a giant-sized staircase.
This was the biggest adventure of their lives. Forgotten was their hunger, forgotten was their fear. It took courage to scale these massive steps, to make this journey into the unknown. But these stout-hearted lads never faltered. Three minds with but a single thought. What mystery lurked within those cold, forbidding walls? What strange spell hovered over this gloomy place?
Mickey knocks on the door.
Will no one answer? Are they walking into a trap? Do they go in?
You know, you could stand some rehearsal on this story.
Inside, the tremendous hall was as silent as a tomb. Not a sign of life anywhere.
As the others drag Goofy beneath the door, his pants get caught.
Caught with his pants,
Charlie.
Well, his slip was showing.
They gazed in speechless wonder, almost afraid to breathe. Suddenly, they looked up. What was it?
Giant-sized food sits on a table. The three race up a spiral design on one of its legs. Donald chomps on a block of Swiss cheese and Mickey gobbles up some greens. Standing on the rim of a large bowl, Goofy slides a huge knife into a heap of enormous peas and tries rolling some into his open mouth. Too big to fit, they bounce off his head. He topples backward onto an enormous gelatin dessert and bounces on its wobbly surface. He spots his hat at the opposite end of the dessert. He tries running toward it, but his feet slide over the smooth surface, leaving him in the same spot. He stops running as he notices his pants drooping. He adjusts his pants with a single jump. He makes a leap for his hat, but the surface of the gelatin wobbles, making waves. Goofy and his hat bounce in opposite directions across the square-shaped dessert. His hat briefly lands on his head as he bounces, but he fails to notice before it drifts away again. Making another grab for the hat, Goofy dives straight into the gelatin, swoops out, and lands in a bowl of whole walnuts.
Oh, who's there? Who is it?
That's the harp.
Play a boy!
Mickey peers into the keyhole of a large box, finding the harp inside.
How'd you get here?
I was kidnapped by that wicked giant.
Oh, a giant?
A giant?
A giant?
A giant?
Bigger than 40 men.
Oh, no.
An ogre who had the power to turn himself into anything, man or beast.
That calls for a drink.
It was this heartless monster that swooped down under cover of darkness, carried off the golden harp, and brought ruin to Happy Valley.
No.
Oh.
Charlie rises from behind a couch wearing a pirate's hat, a monocle, and a fake mustache.
I am the giant.
You are not. You're nothing of the kind.
Well, I'm a small giant.
No, you're not.
I'm tougher than 40 men.
You're not.
Well, or 20 men.
No.
No? 10 men?
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Charlie? Why do you act like that?
I don't know. I guess it's just a stage I'm going through.
Well, take off that mustache.
No!
Now go over there and behave yourself.
Yes, sir. Everything I do is wrong.
But why did the giant want to steal the harp?
Because he was cruel and selfish. He didn't care what happened to the valley. He just wanted someone to sing him to sleep.
Well, why didn't he turn on the radio?
Well, they didn't have radios in those days.
Yeah, that's why they called it Happy Valley.
What did the giant look like?
Well, he was
I'll try and show you.
Jiminy Cricket scampers out of the way of Bergen's feet as he moves the lamp behind the couch and raises its shade to face the far wall. He turns it on, throwing a circle of light upon the wall, then makes a shadow puppet.
He looks something like this.
The shadow has a snout and stubby front legs.
Looks like my pig, Snedley.
Never mind the self-portrait.
Well, no, that isn't right. He looked more like this. There he is now. And the giant came home for dinner, roaring drunk.
I was not.
I mean, he was not.
No.
Down the castle hall he came, roaring,
Fee, fi, fo, fum, fee.
A plump giant with red hair skips into the palace dining room, bouncing a ball.
Hee, hi, ho, hum. I'm a most amazing guy. A most amazing guy am I. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Hee, hi, ho, hum. I'm the stuff I'm telling you, for here's what I can do. I can change myself into an elf, fly up high like the birdies. I can disappear into atmosphere. Peek-a-boo, because I know the magic wordies. Fi-fo-fee-foy, fee-fee-fee-fee, fee-fee. I don't know no fee-fee.
Those are his magic words, you know.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell.
You're telling us.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, he may be smarter than he looks.
Oh, I hope he doesn't find him.
Hey, Giant, you're getting warm.
Well, don't tell him.
Behind a jar, stupid.
Charlie!
As the group hides behind a jar, the giant sniffs it.
Pot roast! Chocolate pot roast! With green gravy!
As Mickey and Goofy hide in Swiss cheese, the giant slices off a big piece. He tears a leg off a roast turkey and forks up pearl onions from a shallow bowl.
Fighty! Floaty!
He leaves one behind.
Fum!
It's actually Donald hiding, with his tail feathers in the air. The giant cheerfully sprinkles pepper on a sandwich, which starts to quiver in his hand. Mickey sneezes out of it.
Zootype!
He flees across the table.
Oh, no, you don't! You can't get away from Willie! I got you!
He snatches Mickey up.
I think I got you.
He peeps into his fist.
Yeah, I got you.
Willie!
Mickey waves his arm.
What?
You'll have to talk fast to get out of this one.
Well, you leave it to Mickey. Just watch.
Mickey steps across Willie's palm.
Boy, what a lifeline.
But what's this here?
Willie points.
What is it? What is it?
Oh, I can't believe it.
Is it bad?
Why, it says here that you can change yourself into anything.
Sure. You want to see me? I can change myself into the darndest things. Go on. Give me something. Anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Mickey spots a fly swatter.
See? Mickey never misses a trick. He's got a good idea.
Well, can you change into a fly?
A cute, teeny, weeny, itsy, bitsy house fly.
That's it. A house fly.
Ah, you don't want a fly. How about a bunny with long pink ears?
Well, of course, if you can't do a fly, why,
All right, a fly. Why?
Well, because.
Okay. A teeny weeny fly. With pink wings. Now for the magic wordies.
Mickey's friends join him and they grab the fly swatter.
I'm a most amazing guy, tee-tie, tee-tie, tee-tie.
Willie turns into a pink rabbit.
You sure you don't want a pink bunny? Hey, what is this? You think you fool, Willie.
Changing back, Willie takes out the harp and puts the three friends in the box.
A couple more good ideas like that and they're finished.
Well, I'll admit the little fellows are in a bad fix. But Mickey isn't one to give up without a struggle.
Mickey escapes, but gets flattened between the box and a wall.
This isn't the first time Mickey's been in a tight spot.
Anybody want to buy a tall, thin mouse?
No, thank you. I mean, no.
In the box, Goofy and Donald watch a key lock it.
Yes, things look pretty dark for the prisoners.
Looks like their goose is cooked.
No, fate may yet deal them a winning hand. Don't forget,
There's still the magic harp. She knows the giant's weakness.
She could be my weakness.
There might still be a chance of escape if she could only use her magic voice to put the giant to sleep.
If she can't, I know who can.
Shh. Let's all be quiet now and see.
In my favorite dream, everyone is so delightful. No one's mean or spiteful. In my favorite dream.
Yes, Willie starts to doze off. The harp gestures to Mickey, who listens from a shelf above the giant.
There my heart can go romancing, dancing to a heavenly theme. But there's something else I look forward to. It's a secret.
Mickey uses a spool of thread to lower himself toward Willie.
He's my favorite. You know who. You're the hero of my most favorite.
Oh, Russia, forgive me.
Willie swats at his head, closely missing Mickey. Donald jerks, hitting his head. Willie goes back to sleep. Mickey tiptoes around Willie's neck and starts down his chest.
In his right vest pocket, you'll find the key. The right vest pocket, go carefully.
Mickey sneaks across Willie's chest and slides right into his vest pocket.
Oh!
Inside is a small box, the key, and a few coins. Mickey tugs at the key, which snags on the box lid, throwing it open to reveal its dusty contents. Mickey falls in.
I'll smash! I'll smash!
The powder gets in the giant's face. Willie slaps his vest pocket, then peers inside.
Hello!
Frowning, he scratches his head.
Nightmare.
Yawning and stretching his arms high, he waggles his fingers, nearly touching Mickey as he climbs up the thread with the key clamped between his teeth. The spool spins, unwinding the thread completely. Scrambling, Mickey uses the key to latch onto the shelf. Donald watches through the keyhole. Mickey tosses the key and catches it with his foot as he grabs the shelf. Goofy looks through the keyhole.
Here he comes with the key.
Get the hammer, Mickey!
The key knocks Donald back as Mickey opens the lock.
Well, it looks like success at last. Free from the clutches of that terrible monster. And out to find the beanstalk. Climb down and return home in triumph. With a big surprise for Happy Valley. But wait, Mickey's going to make doubly sure.
Mickey starts to tie Willie's shoes together.
Just in case the giant might wake up.
Wide awake, Willie glares down at Mickey.
Should have let well enough alone.
As Donald and Goofy carry the harp away, Willie swings a spiked mace at Mickey, who fits between the spikes. The mouse scampers away.
Come back here! Come back here!
Mickey opens a bottle of fizzy fluid and rides out on the flying cork. He goes skidding across the moat. Willie crashes through a castle wall in pursuit. He swings his mace down into the water, creating a large wave which washes Mickey ashore. Willie makes a grab for Mickey, who slips out between his fingers, leaving Willie tugging at a patch of grassy soil. Donald and Goofy begin their descent down the beanstalk, while Mickey yanks on a vine and winds it tightly around a tree root. Willie spots Mickey and starts toward him, but he trips on the vine and crashes to the ground. Mickey bounces onto a beanstalk branch and sees Willie pursuing him. Mickey slides down a winding tendril as Willie climbs down a tangle of thick beanstalk branches. Mickey spins downward faster and faster until he reaches the bottom, where his friends saw the base of the beanstalk. He pairs up with Goofy and helps. They yank Donald forward, flattening him between the cut edges of the stalk. As the stalk starts to tip over, Donald pops back to his normal shape and flees.
And there goes the giant. He's helpless now, tumbling over and over and over. Down, 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 down.
The impact shakes the ground, throwing the trio with Mr. Bergen.
And so with the passing of the wicked giant, Happy Valley echoed once again with song and laughter. For with the return of the magic harp, peace and prosperity reigned throughout the land. And the people of the valley,
we know, lived happily ever after.
You're a wonderful storyteller, Mr. Bergen. Isn't he, Charlie?
Simply thrilling. You're even better than the old-fashioned sleeping pill.
What's the matter, Mortimer?
Oh, the poor giant got killed, but he did. I don't like them sad endings.
Oh, and now you don't understand.
Willie was a nice giant, he was. He just got too big for his britches.
But you don't understand.
No, don't touch me. I'll be all right.
Mr. Bergen blows Mortimer's nose.
Oh, excuse me.
What I'm trying to explain, Mortimer, is that Willie the Giant didn't actually exist.
No.
He's a metaphysical phenomenon of your subconscious mind, a phantasmagoria of your mental faculty. In other words, just a figment of your imagination.
No!
Yeah. So there's nothing to be upset about.
Willie the Giant lifts part of the ceiling and peers down at them.
Hey, has anybody seen anything of a teensy, weensy little mouse?
No, I...
Mr. Bergen faints.
Oh, Mr. Bergen!
Bergen, stick to me. Stick to me.
What's the matter with him? Something he ate?
No, it's a figmentation of his imagination.
No.
Yeah. Well, good night, Willie. Don't slam the roof. You might wake Mr. Bergen.
Willie waves goodbye and gently lowers the roof. Outside, Jiminy Cricket watches Willie wander off across town.
Now some folks don't believe in giants, castles up above. And others say that bears don't talk and never fall in love.
Willie pauses to check under a building, then picks up a hat-shaped building and sets it on his head.
Believe in all your dreams and you will see.
Willie heads off into the night.
You'll be full of fun and fancy, free and ball.
Words appear, the end, fun and fancy free. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Marcia Bartonetti.